The White House's unruly neighborhood, crime, scandal, and intrigue in the history of Lafayette Square. Chapter 10, the section, The Most Amazing Duel. For many years, President Andrew Jackson, who took office in 1829, had suffered excruciating pain from a lead slug and bullet ball that had shattered his left shoulder and left the bullet lodged in his arm. From time to time, the wound would fester and open up. While riding off to defend the city of New Orleans during the War of 1812, a large piece of flesh had sloughed off the affected limb. He'd sent it to his wife, Rachel Donaldson Jackson, as a grimly humorous token. President Jackson was also panged by a bullet from a duel. The projectile was lodged permanently near his heart. All that lead in his body, along with medicines he took, lead acetate and mercury-laced calomel, were likely poisoning him, and perhaps triggering his sometimes rash behavior. Adding to his medical woes were dysentery, constipation, and stomach cramps, and headaches, toothaches, and inflammation of the kidneys. The worst were the bullet wounds, never healing, giving off pus and blood, internally as well as externally. The pellet in his chest caused severe inflammation of the lungs and hemorrhages, violent coughing fits, at times pushing him close to death. For his chest wound, Jackson consulted the aptly named Dr. Philip Fizik, the father of American surgery, from Philadelphia. Fizik was physician to former First Lady Dolly Madison. He'd recently removed gallstone fragments from Supreme Court Chief Justice John Marshall. But Fizik realized the piece of lead was too close to Jackson's heart to risk surgery. He advised the president to improve his health by giving up smoking. But tobacco and coffee were two of the vices Jackson couldn't quit. The backstory to the injury is the tale of the wildest duel in American history. In 1806, Jackson had rashly exchanged insults with attorney Charles Dickinson of Kentucky. The two men were plantation owners and rival breeders of horses. Dickinson accused Jackson of reneging on a horse bet of $2,000, a huge sum at the time. Worse, he insulted Jackson's beloved wife, Rachel. The Tennessean fought many duels over slights to his spouse. Dickinson and Jackson agreed to settle things with pistols. Jackson may have realized that, in accepting the gunfight, he'd made an awful mistake, because Dickinson was reputedly the best shot in Kentucky. The 26-year-old had quick hands, unerring aim, and a fearlessness equal to Jackson's. Dickinson was a gunslinger of not the Wild West of the late 1800s, but of the southwestern frontier of the early 1800s. If Dickinson had kept notches on his belt for every killing, he would have had 26, the number of men he'd sent to their graves. In contrast, Jackson, though terrific in most military matters, had unusually poor aim. Unless Jackson wanted to be viewed as a coward, he could not back out of the fight. But he was no coward, and he had a ferocious sense of honor. If Las Vegas had then existed, touts would have made the Tennessean a hopeless underdog. But Jackson and his friends determined on an outrageous strategy to try to steal a win in this fight to the death. Dueling was illegal in Jackson's home state, which seems odd, given its brawling culture. So the rivals went to the killing grounds near the shore of the Red River in Kentucky. On that fateful day, Dickinson and Jackson stood 24 steps from each other, the former confidently, the latter grimly. Jackson wore a long, loose coat, like that of a future Tennessean, Johnny Cash. The coat somewhat blurred his body as a target. Andrew Jackson was tall and very thin. He presented a narrower bullseye than most duelists. Also, he stood obliquely, at an angle to Dickinson, further narrowing the target presented. Onlookers watched intently as a judge presided over the affair. He told the duelists to begin. The two aimed their single-shot flintlocks at each other. Dickinson, hands rock steady, took accurate aim and fired. Jackson, amazingly, just stood there and took the first shot. Without firing back, he took a bullet in the chest. It lodged within an inch from his heart. Jackson staggered from the grievous blow and nearly collapsed. Blood poured from his chest. A stream of red dripped down into his boots. So much so, his boots overflowed with blood. Dickinson was thunderstruck. As the gun smoke cleared and he saw that Jackson was still standing, he cried, "My God, have I missed him?" No, he hadn't, he realized, as he saw the blood gushing from his opponent's torso. With the iron will Old Hickory was known for, Jackson pulled himself together. Though in agonizing pain, he straightened himself out. He raised his gun at the horrified Dickinson. He aimed and pulled the trigger, but the gun misfired. Now it was Dickinson who seemed to have dodged certain death. But Jackson adjusted the hammer of his flintlock pistol. He aimed again at his petrified foe and pulled the trigger. This time the gun fired. The bullet struck Dickinson in the abdomen. He fell to the ground, mortally wounded. That night, as he lay on his deathbed, Dickinson's friends tried to console him. They assured him that Jackson's wound was also fatal. He hadn't really lost the duel. It was more of a tie. He would go to his grave undefeated after all. But his friends were wrong, barely so. Jackson managed to survive his injury. His doctor told him, "I don't see how you stayed on your feet after that wound." Jackson replied, "I would have stood up long enough to kill him if he had put a bullet in my brain." After the Dickinson duel, some accused Jackson of breaking the rules of the Code Duolo that governs such fights. Technically, his gun's misfiring constituted the first shot. Dickinson's partisans and others claimed he should have let Dickinson reload and fire as Jackson attempted to fire again. But Jackson's backers figured anyone taking a bullet in the chest had a right to fire back right away. Jackson was later plagued by charges he'd murdered Dickinson. In the 1828 presidential election, foes distributed the coffin handbills, a false list of persons Jackson had allegedly killed. President Jackson has a deserved reputation of having lived the bloodiest life of any chief executive. A somewhat related tale. At St. John's Church, across from the Jackson statue in Lafayette Square, a tale is told of the six ghostly figures. These are men of distinction, dressed in the style of the American Revolution. They're said to materialize at night in the church. Some believe they only appear at times of great moment. For instance, it's said they were spotted after Pearl Harbor and on 9/11. It's thought they are the first six presidents who from time to time check in on America to see how it's doing and to show their concern. Those six presidents would be Washington, John Adams, Jefferson, Madison, James Monroe, and John Quincy Adams. Moreover, it's thought that soon after they appear, a seventh ghostly figure appears next to them, namely the spirit of the seventh president, Andrew Jackson, at which point the terrified ghosts of the first six presidents fly off into the night. From The White House's Unruly Neighborhood, Crime, Scandal, and Intrigue in the History of Lafayette Square. Adapted from the chapter, A White House Surgery That Echoed Bullets and Brawls. Copyright 2021 by Edward P. Moser and McFarland Publishing. Available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon Books, and outlets everywhere.